It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello there, film lovers. No, this is not Matthew Sosie. This is Kobe Slagle behind the board here at Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Matthew is on assignment this week, as this is the middle weekend of the Richmond Shakespeare Festival. So we wish him best of luck with the performances this weekend, Titus Andronicus and Midsummer Night's Dream. More info on that at richmondshakes.org. Get your tickets. We are available as a podcast Mondays on iTunes. We have a blog at filmsociology.tumblr.com. And since Matt is not here, filling in this week and next, somebody who has become a regular contributor, a regular guest here on Film Sociology from Nouveau News Weekly, Sam Watermeyer. Thanks for joining us, Sam.
Oh, thanks for having me. And I just want to say, as Samuel L. Jackson said in Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts, because I am not going to do this show like Matt Sosie. Excuse me, Matthew.
Look out.
So, just buckle up, man.
You were holding on to that.
Yes, yeah. I was. It wasn't off the cuff at all. I thought that would be a funny thing to say. And plus, you know, Jurassic World is out, so...
Did it make a gajillion dollars at the box office last week?
Yeah, 206 million or gazillion or something crazy. I actually have not seen it yet. Yeah. And it seems like it's getting pretty mixed reviews and upsetting a lot of fans, which is surprising to me because the last one
is
came out...
Is it upsetting the fans of the first one or the trilogy?
Mostly, it seems like the first one because... I wasn't sure why people would get up so upset about a movie whose last entry came out, what, 14 years ago,
I think? Something like that, yeah.
Is when Jurassic Park 3 came out. So, I'm not really... I didn't know the franchise had so much juice in it and that people still cared. But I guess they do. I've heard from friends that it has some delightful nods to the first film and that it sort of captures the magic of... early Spielberg stuff, but I haven't seen it yet, so.
Nor have I.
Want to.
Looks cool. We were talking last week, Jurassic, there was like four cable networks a couple weeks ago that were running the original Jurassic Park all at the same time, on the same night. So watch that, relive that. Hadn't seen that in forever. Hmm. Kind of get excited for Jurassic World, but haven't made it to the theater yet to see it.
It's gonna
be around a while though.
Yeah. I'm sure it won't really surprise me. I mean, I'm sure most of it is people running from dinosaurs. I feel like I get it. You know.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. You'd think they would stop with these amusement parks involving dinosaurs.
Who's funding this? Who continues to fund this thing?
Yeah, like, I know roller coasters break down and people still go to these amusement parks and ride, you know, all these incredibly dangerous roller coasters, but these are dinosaurs, so...
And not just dinosaurs in this one, in this case, genetically engineered dinosaurs.
Yes, one is
new
like a...
New breeds of dinosaurs, apparently.
Yeah, one is like a dinosaur whale hybrid or something crazy
in the trailer.
Eats sharks. Kind of a nice little nod to Jaws there.
Ah. See, you know what? I didn't even make that connection, but yeah.
Well, that's okay.
So if you don't want to see Jurassic Park.
Yeah, you can go much more family friendly and see the new Pixar film Inside Out, which is apparently about feelings. And I know that sounds silly, but that's...
And conflicting feelings.
Yes, like actors are voicing these different...
Emotions,
yes. Amy Poehler is in it. She's Joy, apparently. That makes sense. Phyllis Smith from The Office is Sadness.
Oh, that's Phyllis... Really?
Mindy Kaling is Disgust. Oh, this is perfect. Lewis Black plays Anger. And Bill Hader is Fear. So, you know, this sounds pretty fun. It's a very original concept. Seems pretty imaginative. I don't know. Maybe I'm a snob. I don't really rush to the theater for Pixar stuff because I feel like I've just outgrown it a little bit. How do you feel about the Pixar movies?
I don't know. Well, what's Pixar? What's Disney?
Well, I think of Pixar, to me, the best Pixar stuff is like Toy Story, mm-hmm. Monsters, Inc.
Yes.
Up.
Haven't seen Up.
You know, Cars.
Like Cars, not crazy about Cars. Don't know why you need a second one, and don't know why you need a plane spinoff and then a plane sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why not?
I don't know. I remember seeing trailers for Inside Out. Oh, the past couple months, I guess, maybe month, 2 months. Not really interested. Can't really get behind it. I see what they're going for, and that's cool, but. Not my thing.
It seems like the main piece of praise I read from critics about Pixar movies is they say stuff like, you know, I'm so amazed that this animated movie has such emotional depth. That seems to be the main piece of praise I hear all the time. And I don't know. I mean, that doesn't really make me want to rush to the theater. Plenty of movies... You know, I guess animation and emotional depth is a great combination, but I don't know. It's not really groundbreaking or anything.
Yeah.
For a movie to have emotional depth. Like, what you were, like, I guess they're expecting these
you
animated...
You hope to have that.
Well, yeah.
Regardless. Animated right. or live action.
Yeah, and, like, I guess they're thinking, you know, kids' movies aren't quite as
right.
sensitive. And,
exactly. It's not a real movie. It's a kids' movie.
Right. So, I don't know. To me, that's like sort of a backhanded compliment to
yeah.
say, wow,
looks like it's getting
movie.
Some good reviews. Early reviews thus far.
Yeah.
From the creators of Up. So, if you've seen Up.
Yes. That one did, let's just say the theater got a little dusty during that one. It is pretty emotional. Ed Johnsonot of Nouveau enjoyed Inside Out.
Really?
He gave it 4.5 stars. Which is kind of surprising. He's a bit of a cranky old man.
He hates most things.
And I say that, if Ed is listening, I say that out of love. But seriously, like, he writes a lot of cranky rants. He seems to approach most movies from kind of a crotchety point of view. I'm sorry, I'm really putting my foot in my mouth right now. I'll stop insulting Ed Johnsonot. It's all in good fun. But, I think that's about it in terms of, like, the big releases this week. There is a documentary called Saint Laurent, or, well, he's French. Maybe it's something fancy like Saint Laurent.
Probably.
That's playing at the Keystone Art Cinema. He was a fashion designer, very popular in the 60s and early 70s. Ed Wink, the managing editor of Nouveau, reviewed that. He was a little lukewarm on it. He gave it 3 stars, said it was a little overindulgent. you know, not surprising for a documentary about a fancy fashion designer.
No, not really.
So, yeah, what, isn't something cool playing at the Keystone Art Cinema?
Yeah. There's other cool stuff. If you don't want to see Jurassic World, if you don't want to see Inside Out, if you don't want to see Yves Saint Laurent, they have their Midnight Movie Madness series, this year. They do it every summer and fall. This is the third week. They kicked off June 5th and 6th with The Matrix. Last week, 12th and 13th, was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They had 2 weeks of Keanu Reeves there. The third week, 19th and 20th, tonight and tomorrow, at midnight at the Keystone Landmark Theater, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Which is a classic.
Very cool.
I think, you know, that along with The Matrix, they're on quite a great sci-fi run. Those mm-hmm. are two of the best sci-fi films of all time, really. Actually, The Matrix is my all-time favorite movie. I think it's just the perfect blend of popcorn, fun, and kind of more thought-provoking philosophy. Mm. 2001 isn't quite as fun. Wouldn't call it popcorn fare, but
that's not something you watch just because you want to hang out and look at something cool.
Right. I bet. I've heard it's really something to see if you're high, though. Fred is pretty trippy. Seriously, though, you know, not the same sort of popcorn fare as The Matrix, but. No. Really incredible film. It special effects wise, it really holds up, and apparently it's been complimented by NASA as being incredibly accurate in terms
really?
Of how the spacecrafts are depicted. And
interesting,
yeah.
No idea.
And you know, really creepy man versus machine story. Of course, the computer. Hal is one of the greatest villains of all time. And there's just this really effective sense of dread kind of looming over the whole movie, which is apparent in a lot of Stanley Kubrick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 2001 is one of his best. It's an incredible spectacle. Maybe a little thin in terms of story and character development, but... you know, a great movie nonetheless. Have you seen it?
I've not made it all the way through.
Hmm.
But
it's a bit of a chore.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's kind of a space opera. It has that kind of epic scale. So, it's not a movie you can kind of casually watch on your couch.
But. Cool to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, definitely.
This weekend at Keystone Landmark. Again, that's tonight, the 19th, and tomorrow, the 20th, at midnight. Then next week, of course, the Midnight Cult Sensation, June 26th and 27th, The Room. Follow that up July 3rd and 4th, Blade Runner, Roar, with Tippi Hedren and Melanie Griffith on July 10th and 11th, Back to the Future 2, July 17th and 18th, and rounding out Keystone's Midnight Movie Madness, July 24th and 25th, is Goldfinger.
Hmm.
An interesting lineup this year.
Yeah, I wonder why they're why they have so many sci-fi movies.
Is that
a midnight sort of thing to watch?
I guess.
Hmm.
Don't know.
Maybe you're a little more open-minded at that time of night. I don't know.
So that's what's going on at Keystone Landmark tonight. The Indianapolis Museum of Art has their summer night film series continuing with Casablanca. And then Psycho next week, and then Jaws Friday, July 3rd. Indiana University Cinema tonight at 8 p.m. Al Helm, Martin Luther King in Palestine, 2014 documentary. And then tomorrow, 3 o'clock, a comedy from this year, 2015, at 3 o'clock, Results. Tibbs, Drive-In, here we go. Lineups, Screen 1, Movie 1. Inside Out, followed by Pitch Perfect 2.
Ooh.
Kids.
That's strange. So well, I guess, like, if you have a little boy or girl and, like, a bratty teenage daughter, that would be a good back-to-back.
Okay. Yeah. Could see that.
I didn't realize I was so mean-spirited.
You are.
I'm coming across as being very snarky. I'm really not like this in person. Just comes out on the radio.
Screen 2, Dope and Insidious Chapter 3. Don't know anything about Dope.
That was produced by Ice Cube.
Really?
Yeah, apparently it's like an urban drama, kind of in the vein of Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know why you'd follow that with Insidious 3, but well, okay. Here we go. Here's a big one. Jurassic World followed by San Andreas.
Makes sense.
Catastrophe Fest.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then Spy followed by Entourage.
I mean, I was going to say Dope and Insidious sort of makes sense. Like, you know, urban ghetto, haunted house, both scary places.
Okay.
You know, kind of a stretch there. A
little bit. Then, Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. 9:30, Jurassic World. 11:30, Spy. And then, at 1:30 a.m., this is the triple feature, from 1956, Guy Madison, Patricia Medina, and Carlos Rivas, The Beast of Hollow Mountain.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
Do you know it?
No, but I want to say one thing. I know one of the guys who works at the Skyline.
Oh, cool.
His name is Brandon Yates, and he does a pretty cool program at the Strand Theater in Shelbyville called Friday Night Frights. It's a double feature sort of thing, and he schedules all the films for that. And he's, like, you know, really into the kind of golden era of horror and classic double features and drive-ins and all that sort of midnight movie magic that's, you know, you don't see very much anymore. So you should keep track of him. He always has cool horror film projects in the works.
Check this out. Beast of Hollow Mountain, an American cowboy living in Mexico discovers his cattle is being eaten by a giant prehistoric dinosaur.
Naturally.
So that's all going on. And then we have the Heartland Film Festival Summer Rewind.
Yes. This is where you're going to really need to hold on to your butts, because I have a lot of stuff to talk about here. There are 12 films playing in the festival. The first one was last night, so unfortunately you missed it, but I strongly suggest finding it on DVD or video on demand. It's called An Honest Liar. And how about we play the trailer for that first?
If I thought that any of this would be used, I would abandon the film entirely.
Gentlemen, I'm the Amazing Randy.
The Amazing Randy.
The Amazing Randy. Ta-da!
A conjurer, prestidigitator, liar, cheat, and fake.
The life of Harry Houdini reads very similar to the life of James Randi.
If you're going to get your head cut off, you go to the best guy. Amazing Randi was the best guy.
Randi, you've been going around the country trying to debunk those who say that it's psychic power.
I can't think of that technical term. Oh, yes, bullshit.
What I do is bending or breaking objects.
Uri Geller fooled the pants off them. It was astonishing.
Bend. Look.
Can you do the spoon bending trick?
Does Dolly Parton sleep on her back?
Do you know how many times Randy tried to ruin my career?
You've been taking a lot of medication.
Peter Popoff is a very dangerous man.
In the name of Jesus!
Popoff just seemed to be able to hear the voice of God and know all about people.
John 3784.
We wondered how he got the information.
I dressed as a security guard.
I appeared in disguise.
Randy is trying to say this is a big hoax.
Duh. I'll take 2 8 by 10.
The man that puts the fear of God into all those psychics. The Amazing Randy!
The easiest way to be bigger than yourself is to lie.
He was terrified.
Man who's devoted his whole life to uncover real deception has at the center of his life a deception.
Only one of these people is sworn to tell the truth.
What a situation. No matter how smart or well-educated you are,
You can be deceived.
Looks cool.
Yeah, it's probably the festival's best film, and I kind of jumped the gun a little bit. I should probably set up the festival. It's it's called Summer Rewind, and it's basically a condensed version of the Heartland Film Festival. It's like Heartland's greatest hits from the year before. An honest liar is kicking it off. Great documentary. Mostly follows James Randi as he investigates these so-called miracle workers, like faith healers and psychics, and he duplicates their efforts with magic, thus exposing them as phonies. Mm-hmm. And he's a very interesting guy. I got a chance to interview him, just enchanting old fellow. He did a magic trick for me. That was delightful. but, you know, he's incredibly committed to being honest about himself, and which is kind of strange to see in a magician. Usually they don't, you know, show their hand or...
Right.
But he...
Nice even, pun there.
Oh, thank you. But he even says, you know, I'm not a magician. I'm an actor playing a magician. He believes that, you know, there's deception behind everything. But, you know, his most inspiring sort of trick is kind of outside of the world of magic, and that's just simply being honest about himself. The documentary explores... when he came out of the closet at the age of 81, it also explores his discovery that his life partner of 25 years was living under a false identity after he fled his, you know, homophobic, abusive village in Venezuela. He took on a false identity and ended up getting into some legal trouble about that. And, James Randi is interviewed in the film about it, but then he begs the directors not to use his interview. And he said 2 days later, he called them and told them to use it because he committed to showing warts and all and being completely frank and honest. So, you know, very admirable guy, just completely transparent. You know, a great example of raw honesty. The next film in the festival isn't quite as admirable. It's called Frank versus God, and it follows a guy that's not quite as charming, although he'd like to think he is. It follows this slick, kind of smarmy lawyer named David Frank, who decides to sue God after his house is destroyed in a tornado. He, you know, pulls some legal strings and ends up being able to define God as a corporation, and he puts all of these representatives from the world's leading religions on the stand in the courtroom and makes this kind of sideshow circus out of it all. I guess it's kind of a clever, original concept for a movie, but unfortunately it ends up being really preachy and sappy and kind of self-righteous, which is maybe what you'd expect from kind of a faith-based film.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of disappointed in that one. I gave it 2.5 stars in my Nouveau coverage, which has... capsule reviews of all the films playing, so be sure to pick up a copy of that.
And also keep in mind, this is the Heartland Film Fest Summer Rewind going on now through tomorrow, June 20th, at the Heartland Film Festival offices down there in Fountain Square.
Yes, thank you. I jumped the gun on that too. Not good at setting up information. Apparently.
So that's Frank versus God tonight at 6, followed up at 7.
By Slingshot, another documentary. It's about the man who invented the Segway scooter, you know, of course, a wonderful invention we couldn't live without, right? His name is Dean Kamen. But it mostly focuses on his efforts to create better water filtration systems. The Slingshot is the name of this filtration system he created. And that has kind of an interesting backstory. He named it the Slingshot because that's what David used to kill Goliath. And to him, you know, the issue of clean water is kind of like a Goliath monster. But it's an interesting documentary. I found it a little disorganized. It kind of jumps all over the place. It's a little scattershot. It also explores his battle with dyslexia, his father's influence on him as an artist. It goes into the Segway a little bit. All interesting stuff, but kind of all over the place. Still worth seeing. That's tonight at 7 at the Heartland Basel Theater. And then next is a slight improvement. One of the better films in the festival. It's called Amira and Sam, and let's take a listen to the trailer for that.
Excuse me. Some of these buzzers don't have names. Do you know Bassam Jafari?
You a cop?
I'm a friend of Bassam's.
Bassam does not have friends, and you smell like a cop.
I brought him a donut. That's probably what you're talking about, smell-wise.
Amira!
What?
Come on out here.
No.
Amira?
Ani mali alaqa bi jama'atak al-junud.
Mafhoom.
You speak Arabic?
Yeah.
27 dresses? She's been a bridesmaid 27 times. It's so good. Bridget Jones' amazing diary.
Bending within 10 feet of a crosswalk, you're selling pirated DVDs. You realize you're breaking two laws at once?
I need your help.
Yeah, what is it? Anything.
Mira's in trouble.
She'll be safe with me.
I can look after myself.
Look, I'm not leaving without you. What do you want to do? What would you rather do?
Something better than this.
She's making people uncomfortable.
Is she here illegally?
We're all here illegally.
Nothing is happening. They're not going to find anything. You're being crazy. Come on, man.
We're looking for an Amira Jafari.
Take it easy,
sir.
Amira's being deported.
All this mess is your fault.
This is the real world. And all of us, every single one of us, is a prisoner of the system.
Stay away from her, son.
It's my decision. Romantic movies. But none of them compare to the way I feel about you. Not even Sweet Home Alabama. I was thinking if you did, then maybe I would let you friend me.
Wow.
Yes, that was Amira and Sam. You would probably recognize the lead actor, Martin Starr, from NBC's Freaks and Geeks. He was probably the nerdiest character on that show. He's just as sweet and nerdy as Sam, an Iraq War veteran. Kind of struggling to live in New York, which brings back memories of the war for him. He ends up harboring an illegal Iraqi immigrant named Amira, and they fall in love. You know, very, very nice, heartwarming movie, which is what Heartland seems to specialize in, mm-hmm. kind of uplifting slice of life stuff. I was glad to see that it doesn't have a sort of liberal agenda, which it could easily have. It paints a post 9/11 world with a gentle touch rather than a heavy hand. It's just a really nice, breezy, romantic comedy / drama. The next film, I wish, was as subtle and tasteful as Amira and Sam. Unfortunately, it's not. It's called Drunk Town's Finest. Hilarious title, not a funny movie at all. It's has pretty grim subject matter. It's about three Native American youths trying to rise above this oppressive Indian reservation they call home. One of the more interesting characters is a tormented transsexual played by Carmen Moore. And, you know, some of the some of her scenes could have used a little more subtlety. They're a little in your face, a little melodramatic. But the rest of the movie is pretty dull, I think, much like its drab setting. But, you know, I could be wrong. That's playing June 19th, 9 p.m. at the Heartland Basile Theater. Sorry, I pronounced that incorrectly before.
So that's tonight's lineup. We have Frank vs. God at 6, Slingshot at 7, Amira and Sam at 8, Drunk Town's Finest at 9, and that takes us to tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow, starting at 12:30, we have Light Fly, Fly High, and that is about a young Indian woman basically boxing her way into a better life.
Cool.
She's ranked 3rd in India's Light Fly category. But the documentary shows that, you know, even though she's excelling in this world, she still faces a lot of oppression, and it captures her battles in and out of the ring. This is a really good one. Not your typical talking head documentary. It's more of an intimate, fly on the wall kind of look at this woman. The next film playing at 1 p.m., Light Fly, Fly High is playing at the Wheeler Arts Community. The next one is playing at the Basile Theater, and that's a documentary called Becoming Bulletproof, which also follows people overcoming adversity. It's the story of a cerebral palsy addled man's journey into acting. It follows 20-something A.J. Murray to a camp where disabled and able-bodied people come together to make a film and raise funds for the disabled community. Really inspiring stuff. It's ultimately about the magic of filmmaking and how filmmaking is about pushing limits and redefining what's possible. The next film playing at 3 p.m. is 1,000 Times Good Night. Let's take a listen to the trailer for that.
She's a photographer. She goes to places where there are problems, places the rest of the world doesn't care about.
I saw Mom's picture on the internet.
You know your mom is made of very tough stuff, and she always makes it through.
The kids home.
Mommy, Mommy,
Lisa.
What were you doing there anyway?
I want people to see and feel the suffering, the horror.
Publish those pictures. Tell me you will.
You come home and you're happy. But all the time you're still waiting for that next shot.
I hope it was worth it. The picture. I'm not going back.
Rebecca.
I'm back home.
I have 2 kids and a husband.
I wasn't thinking. She detonated the bomb. That's all I remember. It's all my fault.
You think because of you, she set the bomb off?
Yes.
These kids, they live in constant fear that their mother's gonna die.
I thought you weren't going away again.
Why would you put yourself in harm's way?
Rebecca!
Take a step back to the camp now. I'm staying here.
Someday when you've grown up, you'll understand that there are some things you can't do nothing about.
I'm not good at this.
What?
being normal.
You scared?
Yes. You don't have to be scared. It'll be all right.
This study's something that I cannot walk away from.
So, yeah, that's probably, that's one of the best films in the festival. Juliette Binoche is great as the main character, a war photographer who is forced to choose between her family and her dangerous profession. I highly recommend you see that. That's playing June 20th, 3 p.m. at the Wheeler Arts Community. The next film is much more lighthearted. It's a baseball comedy in the vein of Bad News Bears. It follows a girls' softball league, but mostly it focuses on their absurdly competitive parents. And it suggests that kids' sports, in the end, are ultimately about insecure adults living vicariously through children. And I think that's very true. That's playing at 4 p.m. June 20th at the Heartland Basile Theater. The next film at 5:30 p.m. at the Wheeler Arts Community is The Sound and the Shadow. That's a very enjoyable, lighthearted riff on Rear Window. It follows this antisocial hermit named Harold and his kind of spunky roommate, Allie, as they join forces to find a girl who goes missing in their neighborhood. He, much like Jimmy Stewart, uses his camera and Rear Window. He uses his sound recording equipment to eavesdrop on neighbors and put the pieces of the mystery of the missing girl together. The next film is Bins at Home. This is, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. It's about a guy who never leaves his house and spends most of his time online on Facebook. And it actually works out pretty well at first. He finds voiceover work. He connects with friends via social media. He convinces girls online to come to his house for dates. So it's a pretty amusing look at this age in which it's all too easy to avoid stepping outside your house. That's one of the best films in the festival. That's playing at 8 p.m. June 20th.
Did that get a somewhat, not wide release, but... It got an art house. Did it get an art house release?
You know, I'm
last year.
I'm not.
It sounds familiar, but
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, you know, pretty low budget indie stuff. so I'd be surprised if it got a wide release. Okay. But that's playing at the Wheeler Arts Community, and the last film in the festival, unfortunately, closing it out on a low note, is the musical Lucky Stiff. It's about a British shoe salesman who has to fulfill his rich uncle's wish of spending a week in Monte Carlo gambling and cavorting around. I did not enjoy it. You know, I think the best musicals don't just have characters speaking in sing-song. They actually, you know, sing tunes that stand on their own outside of the story.
Is this more of an opera than a musical then?
Maybe you could say that. I just didn't find any of the songs very memorable.
Got it.
And it all just got kind of annoying. But, you know... who knows? You might have fun with it. There is an after party, which sounds pretty fun. It's related to the movie. It's a Monte Carlo themed party with gambling and drinks and everything. That's at 8 p.m. at the Heartland Basile Theater. But yeah, that's probably the weakest film in the festival. But you know, I really liked most of them. It's as the marketing director said, it's a small but mighty lineup of films. So I recommend you get out to Fountain Square and check those out.
A lot of things going on in the film world outside of the megaplexes this week. We have Keystone Midnight Movies, the IMA Summer Nights, the drive-ins, of course, IU Cinema, the Heartland Film Festival Summer Rewind that we were just talking about going on now, tonight, and all day tomorrow, pretty much. The Indie Film Fest coming up in a couple weeks, and we have a Horror Fest next week as well.
Yes, one of my favorites to visit. I'm a huge horror nerd. It's called Days of the Dead. I forget where that is exactly. I think it's at the Wyndham West. That's usually where they hold those conventions. But the big guest, who I'm hoping to get an interview with, is Tobin Bell. He played the Jigsaw Killer in the Saw movies. He's like the big draw. And actually, I hate to have kind of a shameless plug here, but...
Matt does it all the time. Don't worry about it.
But I have a short story coming out next week, kind of tying in with Days of the Dead, in an online publication called Punchnells. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's Indiana-based. But anyway, the story is about me and my dad going to the Days of the Dead convention and seeing a horror movie he was in his youth called I Was a Zombie for the FBI. That didn't actually happen. That's a bit of an embellishment. He was in that movie, but we didn't see it at the convention. But I just thought that would make for a better scene for me to see him on the big screen. It's kind of about how we bonded through horror movies and the kind of cathartic power of that genre. So I'll have that coming out next week in Punchnells.
And for more on Days of the Dead, let's now go to Matt Sosi, who is supposed to be on assignment, but is here talking with Sammy Terry.
Ladies and gentlemen, a regular guest here at Film Sociology that really needs no introduction. He does it himself.
Horrible to see your ugly face once again, Matthew.
Right back at you, Sammy.
And please remind me, why did I come back here again?
I think in your because you're in your own odd, warped way, Sammy, you support public radio.
I certainly do, for it is public radio that is radio for smart people.
He said it, not me. So normally I have Sammy in studio. He just kind of comes through the door like vapor. But usually it's October and it's the fall. It's his busy time. But it is summer. What do you do in the summer? Because you don't live by an academic clock. What are summers like? Do you have shorter robes that you wear in the summertime?
Oh, no, my cape always drips down to the ground. Therefore, any drops of blood that drip off of my typo cocktail mug that I have will get soaked up into my cape, will become part of me, and I can ingest and actually absorb the DNA of my victims.
That's why you're sitting over there. So I know you got a lot going on. I read that you are going to be appearing at Day of the Dead at the Wyndham Indianapolis West, June 26th through the 28th. I thought Day of the Dead was a Mexican tradition.
Well, it certainly is. And the Dias de Muertos in the Mexican culture certainly is the most exciting time to be in Mexico. But here in Indianapolis, once a year, we get treated to our own Days of the Dead. It's a horror convention with film stars, all kind of artists and video people who create the most horrific, horror-filled event that Indianapolis ever sees. And of course, horror in Indiana is not complete without sanitary.
So what days are you going to be at the event?
The event is a 3-day event. Of course, it's June 26th. I've got it.
You
August.
Knew that.
I certainly did. Because in August, I have events. In September, I have events. And of course, October is busy. But this month of June, from the 26th through the 28th, make your way out to the Wyndham Hotel, Indianapolis West. That's out on Executive Drive, near the old terminal of the airport, where I hope some of you might get misguided, because I'll be there for you. But before you do, make sure you spend your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Indianapolis Wyndham West, where Days of the Dead will be hosting all kinds of events, booths galore with all of the horror people, and of course, Friday night. You'll want to make sure you're there. It starts at 9 p.m., my Sammy Terry event, but make sure you come early. I believe the doors open at 5 or 6. Check the website at daysofthedead.com. To make sure you get the hours. But my event will start at 9. The line will start to form around 8 o'clock, for it will be the premiere, the very first time you, the audience members, may be able to participate in the brand new Sammy Terry Terror Trivia Game Show.
You're hosting a game show?
Of course. You see, there's nothing more funny than seeing the quizzical look on people's faces when they don't know an answer, or they think they do and then they don't. And as their level on the scoreboard goes up or down, they're beaten with a defeat of ignorance, or they win a prize with the victory of knowledge. But the Sammy Terrier Terror Trivia Game Show will be a hit on Friday night at Days of the Dead. And, of course, all day Saturday, I will be there from noon on to sign autograph, get your pictures with me. And, of course, George will be there to meet and greet you. And, of course, you're welcome to buy any of the Sammy Terry merchandise to help finance my castle expansion.
Is George going to be your Vanna?
George, I'm not sure if he'll be my Vanna White. He'd actually be better as a Vanna Black if he were.
So I guess do you have categories for the trivia questions, or is that are you keeping those in a locked box?
The trivia questions, there will be multiple guests that will come up. In fact, at this event, 8 people will participate at a time. They will come up, and with their remote clicker, they will get to choose multiple choice questions to get the right answer. Let's try one on you. Can we do that, Matthew?
Do I have a choice?
You do not.
There you go. Okay.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Your Sammy Terry Terror Trivia Question. The very first Frankenstein film ever produced, that mighty monster of Frankenstein, is one of the greatest classical monsters that everyone knows. You get an A, B, C, or D choice as to which is the correct answer. Your first answer that you may choose, A, is the good old Hammer films that everyone associates with classic horror. Number 2, your B answer, would be William Castle, one of the greatest horror films, with all of his special spine-tingling effects. C, your question answer would be Thomas Edison, the very first inventor of the light bulb way back into history. And D, well, the D answer would be Barack Obama, the President of the United States. I've heard that he associates with Secretary of States that look a lot like the creature himself. So who originally produced the very first Frankenstein movie?
So, all right, so it's definitely not D. Would it be C?
Thomas Edison? You mean the man who invented the light bulb? Barely before there could have been film, there was barely a light bulb. Are you sure of your answer?
I believe he also worked at Universal at that time as well.
In fact, Thomas Edison is correct. I will not have to behead you for that one, Matthew.
See, I see what he did there. There's a little trick to his treat questions I see there.
Exactly. But Thomas Edison was the very first to produce the film of Frankenstein. It's a very little known trivia question only for those great movie buffs like Matthew Soucy.
That's why I'm on this part of the desk. Anyway, yes. So you get questions like that as well at a Day of the Dead. Now there's a few other folks that are going to be there, and I'm wondering if do you get a chance to hobnob and meet some of the other artists? I know like Tobin Bell's going to be there this year, as well as Angus Scrimm from the Phantasm series. Is there a brunch that you guys all go to on Sundays?
Well, there is a Carnage brunch that we all try to feast at. There's not much talking, being that there's so much chewing going on. But we do get to hobnob in the back room before and after, and they have VIP parties as well, where we're able to mingle and mix with people as well.
And I know if you're a fan of The Shining, there are three artists that are going to be there. Lisa and Louise Burns. That's right. The twins.
The twins. Those little girls with the creepy faces. Of course, now they're big, old girls with creepy, ugly faces.
And they're connected, as opposed to what turned out to them in the film. As well as Leah Beldam, I should say. And she is... she's the lady in the tub you do want to hang out with.
Absolutely. I've been looking so forward to meeting her, perhaps needing to spend some time with her.
I know Sid Haig, of course, who's been in 1,000 things. PJ Souls, for you fans of Halloween and Rock and Roll High School. Joe Bob Briggs, one of your peers.
That's right. Joe Bob has been spinning the films like I have for years. It's always good to see the other horror hosts, being that there are so few of them left and alive today.
I know Samantha Mathis is going to be there, Tracy Toms for you fans of Death Proof. And I've also noticed this happens from time to time at these events. You have professional wrestlers popping up, and I know Ric Flair is going to be at this event. Are you a wrestling fan, Sammy?
Oh, I try not to get that entangled with so many people. But of course, if you remember my very early days, I spent a lot of time with the classic wrestlers that started it all. Oh, Dickie the Bruiser was a very good friend of Sammy Terry, as well as so many of the great ones that started the entire fascination with crushing a chair over someone's back.
My dad was the same way. He was a ringside physician back in the 60s. So yeah, Dick the Bruiser, Crusher, Bobo Brazil. You and Dick would have made a fascinating tag team.
Oh, we certainly would. I could hold someone in my cape very tightly as he mashed and crushed their head with his bruiser able hands.
Wow. So yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Where can people go for information on as far as the events and your appearances?
Well, for the Days of the Dead event, of course, it's daysofthedead.com. For anything related to Sammy Terry, as well as the links to all of my various events, they can go to sammyterrynightmares.com. There they can find the information about my Monster Movie Fest that I'm hosting at the Skyline Drive-In, Friday, August 28th in Shelbyville, Indiana. It's one of the greatest remaining drive-ins around, the SkylineDriveIn.com. Make sure you come to see me. I'll be doing my classic Sammy Terry stage show. We will be doing the game show there, so if you miss out at Days of the Dead, come be a contestant on the Sammy Terry Terror Trivia game show at the Skyline Drive-In Friday, August 28th. And then in September, I will be at the Fiendish Horrible Comic Festival in Danville, Illinois. That's September 26th. Make sure you check the SammyTerryNightmares.com website. And, of course, always the Sammy Terry Facebook fan page. If you haven't liked it yet, shame on you. Make sure you press the like button for the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook.
Now, I know I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit because it's still a long way down the way until October, but any word of any TV appearances come your busy time of the year?
Well, I've talked with CBS4, who is Sammy Terry's home in Indianapolis. And it does look certainly likely that Halloween night, when you get home from your trick-or-treating with your little goblins, you'll be able to sit down once again. And this would be the 54th year, more than any other horror host in America, that you will be able to treat your family to the same spine-tingling terror that you and I have shared together since 1962.
Well, I'll just put it out there. I know you have a suggestion box right by your coffin there. I'll drop in Blackula, of course. I think that should be shown on Halloween night.
Blackula, one of the greatest triumphs in ethnic growth. Blackula was the very first trend and race-breaking horror monster. Blackula was wonderful at horrifying people, but even better with the ladies. And of course, like Blackula, he likes his women just like Sammy Terry likes his women.
And how's that?
Ground up and in the freezer.
Well, Sammy, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you very soon. That's going to be that's words to live by almost. Have you seen any films recently? I mean, I know you're a very busy ghoul.
Well, of course, I do hit all of the horror films. One that I certainly recommend, although spoofy as anything and very campy and fun like Sammy Terry likes his horror, you'll need to see the remake of Poltergeist with so many throwbacks. But I tell you, unless you want to be insulted and have to walk out of a very boring movie, you'll need to make sure you watch the classic Poltergeist, the first, so you understand all of the relationale in there to make sure that you see all of the humor. Otherwise, all of their jokes will fall flat.
Is 50 Shades of Grey its own terrifying experience?
50 Shades of Grey is the true 50 Shades of horrible film.
And notice that's horror with two syllables, just so we're clear.
Horrorable, that's right.
Well, Sammy, we're really glad to have you here. You know, you're always invited, whether we invite you or not. So thanks for coming in, and hope to see you all at... I'm being Columbo now. What do you think of Titus Andronicus?
Titus Andronicus, by far, from my macabre perspective, is the very best of all of the Shakespeare plays, a play that everyone in Indiana should see. And you're lucky enough, it's coming to a theater group, a Shakespeare theater event near you. Tell us more, Matthew.
Thank you, Sammy. Yes, the Richmond Shakespeare Festival at Earlham College at the McDaniel Studio Theater. We're putting on two productions. We're doing A Midsummer Night's Dream, that's directed by Mrs. Soucy. I call her Lynn. That is running, as well as Titus Andronicus, which you can see me as Saturninus, the Roman emperor who's corrupt and not a nice guy. But as far as nice or nasty levels, I'm kind of middle of the road in this show. But it's running through June 28th. There is a 10 p.m. performance Saturday night on June 27th of Titus. 10 p.m., we call that Richmond Midnight. But you can call 765-373-9022. Or go to richmondshakespearefestival.org or richmondshakes.org for more information. Hope to see you out there. If you enjoy Shakespeare and you enjoy horror films, and especially if you enjoy both, you're going to have that experience at Earlham College with Titus Andronicus.
Titus Andronicus and Matthew Soucy starring as the corrupt emperor. That's a wonderful combination you'll want to see. And, of course, a corrupt emperor could be no one else than someone that plays the part so naturally.
And when you come see the show, especially with Titus, you're going to hear a curtain speech done by a certain somebody very familiar, a regular guest here at Film Sociology. I don't think I can give you three chances. You'll know on the first guess.
Your first guess should be Sammy. Your second guess should be Terry. And your third guess should be George. And your first two would be right.
Yeah, we tried to get George in the studio for vocal tracks. It's quite difficult.
He's got a little agoraphobic issue with himself in the dungeon. There's so many tasty flies sticking to our windows for him to eat to ever think of coming down to such a pristine, clean place as WFYI Indianapolis.
Yeah, we don't allow food in the studio, so sorry, George. Sammy, we appreciate your time, and we'll see you very, very soon, whether we want to or not.
I look forward to seeing your face again, Matthew. And to everyone out there, if I don't see you live, I'll see you on Facebook at the Sammy Terry fan page. And until you and I meet again, I wish you all many pleasant nightmares.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. For Matthew Soucy and Sam Watermeyer of Nuvo News Weekly, I am Kobe Slagle. This has been Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. We'll see you next week. We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.